Well, just as we compared an apple and an orange in the children's story, so we'll compare vision and mission in our message this morning as we continue in our series on vision. You know, people say that you can't compare apples to oranges, but it always seems like a fruitful comparison to me. I got time. By the way, what's the difference between a bucket and a tub? Nope. A bucket pales in comparison. You can get your money back at the door. That's fine. So if you're playing along in the bulletin this morning, it's a little bit of a fill in the blank. Okay, let's get started. Vision and mission are related, but distinct. They're related, but they're distinct. And we pastors have contributed to the problem. We've confused mission and vision. We've used the terms interchangeably. And that's not always been helpful. We have a mission. And we can look to the scriptures at several places. We can look at Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus gives what we have come to call the Great Commission, right? Go, therefore, into all the world and preach the gospel and baptize and teach them. Today's reading that Judy read for us is about Jesus' mission. He came to bring release to the captives, to free those who are in the bondage of sin and misery. In Matthew chapter 1, we have the angel who appeared to Joseph in a dream, remember? And what the angel said? Mary will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. That's what Jesus came for, isn't it? To save us from our sin. And the two commandments that Jesus gave, one was from the Old Testament, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second one, love your neighbor as yourself. Faith is both personal and social. It's both one-to-one, and it's found in community, too. So vision and mission are related, but they're distinct. Number two, mission is a general statement of ministry of objectives and goals. Objectives and goals. It is philosophic, okay? It can help define Bethany's basic stance on something. It can let others know what our intention is. Here's some examples of mission statements that I've called from different churches. To reach the lost at any cost. Okay, that's the goal. That's the mission statement. It's very broad. To know Christ and to make Christ known. That's a mission statement. It's not very specific, but it shows the heart and the intention. To be in the world, but not of the world. Okay? Those are some examples of mission statements. Perhaps you've heard the story about a person who was driving through the community looking for a church to call home. And the guy drove by two churches, and by the first church, as he drove by there, there was a sign in the yard that said, Lord, you catch them, and we'll clean them. He read that sign and he drove a little further down the road to another church. And the sign of that churchyard was this sign, Lord, we'll catch them. You clean them. Now think for a moment about which church you might select according to the slogan. Number three, vision is a specific, detailed statement of direction and uniqueness. It's strategic. Okay? Vision is strategic. It's specific, it's detailed, it's customized. The mission statement often says what. The vision statement often says how. That's the difference. And it allows a pastor, a staff member, the administrative board, or a ministry to say yes to some things and no to other things. so that the focus can stay on the vision. It helps people reach goals. It helps us be productive and have a sense of accomplishment. So vision is strategic, while mission is often just philosophic. Number four, mission statements are broad, vague, and designed to inform, and instill confidence, okay? Help people feel confident that the church is Christian and ministry-minded, okay? Vision statements are designed to impact and motivate and instill excitement. Do you hear the difference? Vision statements are designed to impact and motivate and instill excitement. If you're not excited about a vision statement, then it either isn't much of a vision statement, or maybe it's just not tickling where you itch. Vision statements are designed to influence, even change. Vision statements should bring some enthusiasm with it, some fire. Often vision statements identify a target group, okay, whom you hope to impact. That doesn't mean that other groups are ignored. It doesn't mean that other groups are set aside. It just means that it can indicate a priority in resources, a priority of time, finances, leadership, okay? So mission relates to general approaches, to action, and vision relates to specific actions. So the mission might be to grow the church numerically or financially or spiritually. That might be the mission. How that happens, the vision for that involves strategic ways to do that. How will we do that? And so both are needed. Now, please, if you would, take a look at the back of your bulletin this morning, the cover, the outside cover. Take a look at the back of your bulletin. And look at the second line that's in italics. The second line in italics. Let's read it, okay? The church with open hearts, minds, and doors. Okay. Now, given what we've talked about this morning, do we have a mission statement or a vision statement? It's a mission statement, yeah. One of the ways we can tell if it's general, non-specific, it's a mission statement. If it's specific and detailed, it's a vision statement, okay? Another way a person can tell is if it's basically a copy from something else. Because as we said last Sunday, vision is unique. God downloads that vision unique to that body, to that ministry, to that church, whatever it might be, okay? The United Methodist Church created the phrase open hearts, open minds, open doors in 2001. As our brand promise, as our advertising slogan that was featured on billboards and televisions, ads and computer banners for our denomination. And we're encouraged to use it. And we do. Open is used as an adjective that describes who we are and who we aspire to be. Right? And so as a result, there are churches throughout our denomination, one of them, Open Hearts, United Methodist Church in Bolivar, Missouri. There's the United Methodist Church of the Open Door in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania. There's Grace United Methodist Church in Naperville, Illinois, has a ministry called Open Doors that began with a vision to eliminate barriers. A mission to eliminate barriers. How are we going to do that? What's the vision for that? And what they learned was that mom and dads with special needs children in their community weren't coming to church because they didn't feel welcome. They couldn't get connected. So members of the congregation cared for the family's child and children during worship and special events. Sunday school classes were reshaped to help small children with ADHD and ADD. Open Doors director Nicole Zachariah saw that families were staying. And one day she asked, "How are things going?" Let me share with you her answer. She said, "We had just about given up on church. You guys are the only church in town that really made us feel welcome, that truly opened your doors to our family." The lives that were transformed were not just those that they directly served, but they themselves, because ministry always does that. Ministry helps us all increase our abilities to love, our sensitivity to acceptance. And it's been a good phrase, and it still is a good phrase. Now, the next chapter in Open Hearts, Open Minds, Open Doors, welcoming and advertising campaign was Rethink Church. That was chapter 2. It doesn't replace chapter 1. Like a book, it adds on to that. It builds upon it. That began in May 6, 2009. Rethink Church. And in this new campaign, open becomes a verb, not an adjective. Let me explain. It becomes a verb that directs, that involves, okay, rather than an adjective that just describes from within. The first chapter dealt with inside the church. How can we have open hearts? How can we open our doors? How can we have open minds? The second chapter treats it more as a verb. How can we do this? Okay. Rethink Church seeks to invite the churched and the unchurched to engage in Christian roots and heritage and demonstrate to the world that faith in Christ is active. That church isn't just a place, isn't just a routine event on Sunday morning, but rather a way of living, a way of life. And the tagline for Rethink Church isn't a statement like before. It's a question. And the tagline question is this: what if church were a verb? What if church were a verb and not just a noun? Open Hearts, Open Minds, Open Doors was about intentionally welcoming and being diverse. Rethink Church is about being intentionally reforming, helping people seek spiritual fulfillment, being outwardly focused and engaged in your community and in the world. It's a vision about the church not just as a place to come and sit and stay within, but as a home base for operation out which from you go, into the community, around the globe. Church not as a noun only, but as a verb. And it asks some hard questions. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century? What does it mean to be a Christian in the 21st century? And the answer is different from when you grew up. And the answer is different from when I grew up. And now, when I was a teenager growing up in the 70s and a young adult in the 80s, there were some outward, acceptable, marked signs of being a Christian, okay? And some of those signs were you didn't smoke pot or do drugs. You attended church more Sundays than not. You dressed a certain way. Not a coat and tie all the time for guys, and not dresses all the time for girls, but jeans were a no-no unless that was the best you had, or unless that was all you had. And if I had just kept those bell-bottom jeans and silk shirts from back then, I could pay a college tuition payment with those things. Sex before marriage was frowned upon. And you didn't cohabitate before marriage unless you were in the home of a parent. That's a short list, and I know it's incomplete. That was the 70s and the 80s that I lived in, okay? Half a century ago or more. Ouch. Rethinking worship, rethinking service, rethinking discipleship, rethinking the role of nostalgia in the local church, rethinking how to unite the generations. All of it so that people may know Christ and connect. Let me tell a story. It was several years ago. The group around the table looked at me and they said, "We're not going to do it." We were in B-Dubs, which, if you don't know, that's Buffalo Wild Wings. We were watching one of the best teams ever. With this in one hand and this in the other hand. These two things are connected. Let me tell you, you got to have one to have the other these days. So my friends there, they were knocking back a few. And I was there trying to hear from them what it would take for them, who had been active and been away, what would it take for them to return to the young adult ministry? And one of the answers was this. It was, "I want my church to talk more about how we helped the homeless last weekend than that they saw us here." I don't think having beer and wings is going to send me to hell or keep me out of heaven. But evidently some folks do. And we had a great discussion about character and integrity. And my response was, "I can't do anything about that. What I can do is I can help keep you focused on the vision. I can help us stay focused on where we're going, on where God is leading and why God is leading in that direction." And some returned, and some didn't. Mission and vision are related, but they're distinct. We have a mission statement borrowed from a denominational phrase that is now 18 years old. We don't have a vision statement. And as we begin our third year together, I'm wondering if you want one. I believe that God's creating one. And I want what God wants for Bethany. I want God's vision for Bethany. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let's just take a few moments of quiet and just think about what we've heard today. Think about your thoughts upon receiving this word. Lord, you are the all-knowing one. And you've given us a mission. I believe you have a vision for us. I believe you have a way, a strategic way of doing ministry here in this time and in this place. For your purposes. And I thank you for all who have gone before, for their faithful and hard work, and for seeing how that mission, Lord, happens here. But Lord, we see our challenges and we see what's before us, and we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you, God. Give us ears to hear and minds to receive and hearts obedient for our glory, but most of all for your greater glory. And we pray in your Son's holy name. Amen.